Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, first week of January. This will be airing on the 8th of January, Wednesday.
Good morning.
We are doing our series on a little primer, kind of a refresher on discerning God's will. Mostly because we've been discipling, there seems to be where people get a little bit stuck in, how do I get down to specifics about his will? And what I see is that they tend to stop short and say, well, I think his will is this, or I heard his promise is this. So now I'm kind of waiting for that to happen. And then it doesn't really happen. And they say, I wonder, did I miss it? Am I presuming something that I shouldn't have been presuming? What is wrong here? You know, basically. And that's what we're trying to address in this little short series we're going to do is, well, let's get to the what is wrong with it.
Right.
And how do we get past it and actually start, you know, fully experiencing it? And it's a really important thing of how we work through that so that we don't stop and wait, you know, and just let me give you a biblical example. Think of, and we'll actually talk about this today and kind of the setup, but when Moses crossed the Red Sea, saved from the Egyptians out of slavery, now on their, under their own life, in freedom, God said, my will, my plan is to take you across the Jordan to the land of Canaan, where there's a big enemy there.
Right.
But I'm gonna defeat it, and I'm gonna give you that land.
Yes.
And you're gonna, it's already, you know, plush, lots of houses, lots of wells, animals, fantastic vineyards, and I'm gonna give you peace there. It's gonna be good. The covenant. What did they say?
Well, they got stuck, kind of, didn't they?
Yeah, the Israelites said, we're not willing to go.
It was too intimidating to them. And so several of them just missed out on that, right?
Well, they all did.
Yes, because we're on the first round. Yeah. Second round, several still miss out because they won't go either.
But the two million people said, we're not willing to go. We don't believe it. It's too tough. And we're not willing to go any further. And God said, okay. They never had another promise. He did take care of them, by the way, in the wilderness. But they lived a life of misery for 40 years, you know, in an awful place, never having a real life other than wandering around. Okay, they die. Joshua and Caleb, by the way, had believed it.
Right. And they were the only two of the 12 spies that had gone out that actually were like, yeah, this is what we see. It is all of those things, and it is intimidating, and there are, you know, great hurdles to overcome here, but God. But God is bigger than this. And if he says it, then we can step into this. But they were only two who did.
And they believed it. So then God said, okay, Moses is dead. Are you willing to go? Yes. Okay. He says, place that you set your foot in the land of Canaan across the Jordan, I'm going to give you, and I will deliver it to you, and we'll defeat the enemy. Do you have a heart to go? Yes, we do. Okay. Ask the people. They turn around and ask, okay, and by the way, the people are the kids. So now there's another 2 million people that are the kids, the people that died in the wilderness, and they're all gone. But so they were born in the wilderness, never were in Egypt, and never been anywhere. Do you want to go? Yes. Okay, let's go. So they go. Now they heard the promise. Did Joshua say, you're giving us this land? When you finish it, let me know.
No, he had to walk with him step by step.
Yeah.
And a misstep or two in there, right?
Yeah.
But
so
step by step.
He said, well, you know my will. Yes, you've heard my promise. But you're going to have to get specific about the walk of path to fulfill it. And he said it's going to be city by city, And I'm not even telling you the plan.
Right. And the instruction at each city was different. Right.
And you're going to have to follow me as we get one. I'll say, okay, now here's what's next. Mm-hmm. And here's what's next. And then follow me the whole time. And he gives this great story of Jesus showing up and, hey, are you for my plan? And Jesus says emphatically, no, sorry. I got
asking the wrong question.
What do you have to say to your servant? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, no, remember, that's how you approach everything. So, you know where I'm headed. You know what the fulfillment's going to look like. But you're going to have to walk with me specifically, mm-hmm. city by city, step by step. And by the way, you can still fail.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be with me. Okay. When's Jericho? You know, the next city, AI. I got this. No problem. And he goes and gets defeated,
mm-hmm.
and comes back, you know, and God says, you know, yeah, two problems. One, remember I told you?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to ask me first and listen to me first before you decide to go anywhere. You can't go in any step on your own. You have to follow me on my step. And then two, had you asked me, I would have said at the last place,
mm-hmm.
that, by the way, wasn't my plan, because I told you not to take stuff.
Right.
You have people that exercise their free will and disobeyed. And we're not going anywhere until you get that cleaned up.
Yeah. There's sin in the camp.
Yeah. So Joshua, see, could have said, well, you know what? It doesn't look like we're going to win any more cities, so I'm not going any further. He would have said, okay. Or I'm not going to take care of this sin because I don't want to hurt anybody. God would have said, okay, we're stopped. In other words, this, when you look at God's promises, I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. He said, it's potential, but not guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're going to have to walk with me. And by the way, it took 5 years
mm-hmm.
for that fulfillment of the promise. So as we approach this, it's not to say, okay, what do you say? Thanks. When you get it done, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, you're going to have to walk with me step by step by step. We're going to have to go city by city by city. And along the path are people that are going to influence this because of their free will, including mm-hmm. you and including people around you.
Right.
And he said, I don't thwart that, but I can overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. Okay, so let's set this up and go to Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 20. Because the key is that God's plan is not guaranteed. It's an invitation to join that plan.
So good.
Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 20.
For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them.
Yeah. So he says that my plan, and remember, this is Deuteronomy 28. So he's talking to Joshua and the children that have been born in the wilderness. Is that, hey, we're about ready to go, and I want you to understand something. I'm inviting you to go.
Mm-hmm.
I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. In other words, I'm giving you a clear choice.
Right.
If you follow me and choose to walk with me, he says, I will deliver to you the blessing. And by the way, you'll be blessed to be a blessing, the covenant. I'm going to deliver the covenant. Okay, now just read verse 20, because he reminds them of, if you do this, this is where you're going to be. What does he say?
Right. It says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them.
Okay, so he says the purpose is I want to get you to live, in the promises.
Right.
I'm promising you this. It's covenant. We're going to go across. It's going to be different. There's going to be a city by city. You're going to have to fight it out, but I'm going to give you the victory. And if you choose it, we'll get there.
Right.
And I said,
I love,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I love, even in looking at that, it reminds me of the verse we talked about yesterday about the blessings overtaking you, not chasing the blessings, but the blessings overtaking you. Right. But, you know, and as he says this, he says, you know, that you may dwell in the land. So there is this end product, but there's all this before that, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey him, that you may cling to him, that he is your life. It is not chasing the blessing. It's not chasing the promise. It is chasing after and clinging to God. And in the midst of that, the natural outcome of it is the blessing and the promise. Yes. But we need to be careful not to get those backwards, right? Because we can, in our humanness, want the blessing, want the end product, want the promise so much that we forget that the invitation is to the whole package. It is to be with him, is to cling to him. And it is literally to be chasing after him. And in that, the rest is a natural outpouring.
Because he says, I set before you blessing and cursing, and the blessing will be known. Here's my promise about your situation. Here's my promise.
Right.
And this is, I'm taking you to the promised land, and I promise you something. I'll define the blessing, but the choice on your part is what?
To stay with him, step by step. Yeah.
See, he says, I set before you this understanding, so you'll see it. But now it's up to you.
Right.
Are you willing to choose to walk with me?
Choose life, right.
And let me give it to you step by step by step. And he said, by the way, this is not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need somebody else to get it. Okay, now think about what he's saying there. That if that is what God is saying, you know, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you the answers.
Yeah.
I will tell
you. And the Holy
Spirit
within us can lead us to that, you know, and will when we're seeking, right?
I will deliver it to you. You can trust it, because I'm going to give it to you. So as you do that, he says, I'll speak it to you. And then in verse 17, he says, you'll know if you're not choosing me, because something happens. What happens in verse 17?
This is such a great indicator. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. So there is this aspect of, when we stop hearing, that is a great indicator right away to the fact that
computer had just unplugged. So it says, you're going to lose your computer. I need to plug it back in. So I did.
So do you want me to back up and read that verse again?
No, we're hearing it. Everybody's hearing it. This is why I left the picture. I had to go plug that in.
Yes, so I'll read that verse again anyway, just to set us back up here. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. So the not hearing is a big indicator, right?
Yeah, he says that it's not difficult. Why? Well, because I'll speak it and my sheep hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need anybody else to do it. Now, we're going to come around and talk about, you don't need anybody else to tell you, but what you do need is other people to walk with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that.
What we want to do is
say, don't put the burden on yourself that I got to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, what am I hearing? It won't be that complicated. If you stop hearing, you know you've done something to choose not to walk with me. And I want you to come back, because I invite you to join me in my deliverance of my will, and for you to know my will, you have to be with me.
Yeah. And can I just make a little note, though, that stopping hearing, not hearing, is different than hearing something that is different than what you thought you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Right? Because sometimes we say, I'm not hearing anything. I'm not hearing anything, because what he continues to tell us is not what we are hoping to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. We had this Christmas party that we, you know, had with a group of people, and the guy came to me and said, hey, you know, could we get together? And I said, yeah. And he says, I've heard some instructions and they don't make sense to me.
Hmm.
And it seems the opposite of what I thought I was supposed to do. And I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is highlighting what you're saying is that, and I said this, I said, well, the good news is you're hearing.
Right, right.
I said, because you don't yet understand it, that means you haven't got there yet of the clarity of it and you need to walk into it. And I said one thing. I said, I'll walk with you and you'll have your spouse walk with you and you have other inner circle walk with you. I said, right now, do not take on the burden that you have to figure this out. It's confusing. I get it. God will speak to you and you will receive it and just wait for you to receive it and actually enjoy receiving it. And the good news is you're hearing. And I even said, if you had come to me and said, I've been asking God questions, I'm hearing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said, we got a different issue. Somehow you've walked away. You haven't walked away, but you don't know. And that's what you're trying to highlight is that we got to be careful not to confuse those.
Yes.
Is that, well, I've heard something, but I don't know. Okay, it's okay. Good. The good news is you're here.
Yeah, right,
let's
go.
Okay, now we've set it up. It's by invitation. Let's see how Jesus, how did he function? John 5, 18 to 20, and then verse 30.
Sure. It says, therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said God was his father, making himself equal to God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel.
And then verse 30.
Verse 30 says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me.
Yep. And then jump over to John 8, 28 to 30, so we can kind of reinforce this.
It says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him.
Yep. So Jesus says, I go where the Father's working. He tells me what to do and how to fulfill it. I always do that. I never do anything else. The Father speaks, I follow, and I always operate that way. Now, so first of all, did Christ understand his mission?
Yes.
Sure. He kept talking about it. He understood it. I know where I'm headed, but to get there, he had to do what? Walk
step. He had to walk step by step.
Step by step. Step. And actually, if you think of the two biggest things he did is he demonstrated all the time and bore witness to the truth with supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And John even says it, if we would record all the supernatural stuff we did, we couldn't contain it all.
Right.
And he did it all the time. So he's going to bear witness with him, the Father, doing supernatural things to demonstrate that the covenant is true.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus wanted to demonstrate that. Okay. Secondly, what did he do? He discipled 12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were other people around him that they were also discipled, but primarily he poured into those 12 guys.
Right.
Why? They're the ones that started the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to perpetuate they were blessed to be a blessing. And he needed them to really understand it by living with him for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, when they first came, he just said, come and follow, come and see, come and follow me.
Right, right.
They didn't know nothing. And throughout the 3 years, they always like, oh, ye of little faith. You know, he even said, how long do I got to put up with you guys? You know,
right, right.
But stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. And he knew that. And God said, I want you to invest in those guys because multiplication is my plan. Mm-hmm. And you are the initiator of that plan.
Right.
And that's what we do, by the way, is that we disciple people. We don't worry about big numbers. We actually work with small numbers purposely so
make
they can disciples be
disciples. Who make disciples.
So they then can carry it on and it happens. It's such a beautiful thing. But Christ says, I do nothing. No, I did nothing. I always only follow the Father. Okay, always, the word there is all the time, every day, every week. Therefore, What was God speaking to him?
Exactly what he should be doing.
When?
Right then. Like every day, yeah.
See, there wasn't, Jesus didn't say, yeah, well, the Father didn't
talk to me. Once a week I check in. And
yeah. Or he didn't talk to me for 3 weeks and he went silent.
Mm-hmm.
He never went silent. I always right. hear the voice of God because I came to do his will. And his will is very specific. Mm-hmm. And I had to hear that every single day. Right. And I did. And I followed him and I only did what he did. Okay, now, he says, that's true for me. Now, let's look at us, John 15:5. What does he say?
He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Okay, without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. So in order for us to be in the same place God was, that Jesus was, we have to do what? Hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Because if you get apart from me, and that's why, you know, when we said it in Deuteronomy 30, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, is that you have to keep hearing my voice
right.
to be able to walk with me. And apart from me, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. And by the way, what? I'm putting myself through the Holy Spirit within you to be able to do that.
Right.
What? I'll speak, you listen. Mm-hmm. What about now? How about now? What now? What's next? What step do I take now? What do I do today? Mm-hmm. How do I follow it? You know, Jesus functioned in such a beautiful way. Like, for example, when he was going to Jericho, or he was going through Jericho on his way to Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, he knew what he was up to. And a guy in a tree, Zacchaeus, says, hey, Jesus. And Jesus goes over to him and says this in the Greek, I must spend the time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why? It wasn't like, hey, today you're going to meet this guy and you got to go do this. It's as he's moving forward in God's will today. Mm-hmm. And it says, hey, there's a guy over there that I'm at work in. You today stop and go spend time with that guy. Why? Because that's what the Father told him. Mm-hmm. If he wouldn't have told him, did he spend it with everybody? No. If Zacchaeus was there saying, hey, Jesus, but the Father says, nope, not now, Jesus would have kept going. See?
Right.
Why? Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're in that same place and keep thinking I got to be in that same place. So if I'm in that same place, what must God be doing? He's got to speak to me.
Yeah.
He has to. He can't say you're in that same place, but I'm never going to tell you.
Right. I had a friend share the other day, and I may have shared this on the podcast already, but a couple of key questions that God has led her to ask in her abiding time each morning is, one, God, what am I trying to do today apart from you? And two, what are you trying to do today that you're inviting me into?
Right.
You know, and making sure she's paying attention every day to submitting her plans to his and surrendering right. them to his, so that she yep. is doing what is fruitful, not what she has planned.
Right. That's right.
And it's a great start to the day.
It is. Yeah. So he says, I invite you. It's a choice you have to make. My will is not automatic. Don't think of it. Everything that happens is my will. Rather, if you walk with me, my will be fulfilled. And the key is, as Jesus operated, I want you to operate. Listen, follow, and be with me. And by the way, I'll bear witness with supernatural things. So, Father, we thank you for the beauty of that, the simplicity of it, of you set before us life or death and an opportunity to walk with you into your will, which means we have to hear your voice as Christ did always. And you're never silent and you'll always guide us. And we just pray that we'll learn it and recognize how beautiful it is and that we can live, because apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we pray for that wisdom, that insight, that ability, and teach us what that means. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Loving talking about all of this and just how God is speaking through it. So if you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.